Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is a day we want to pay attention this week to some actions and steps this White House and the President and Vice President will be taking. And we'll outline some of those today as far as what to be paying attention to as we head into the month of June, and also getting closer and closer towards the potential ruling on the Dobbs, Mississippi case for life. So with that, let's go ahead and dive into our scripture verse of the day and continuing our study of the Reordering Our Day book from Chuck Pierce. And we want to start in Psalms 139, 16. And this kind of lays a groundwork for following the story of Jacob on his journey towards coming back to the promised land after going and serving Laban for so many years. And the verse is verse 139, 16, where it says, "For your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Basically, not one of them completed. The Amplify talks about how the appointed days that we have on this earth that the Lord knew about before we were even in our mother's womb. And that's important because as we look at the story of Jacob on his journey towards entering into what the Lord has written about him, even before he was even in his mother's womb, it's important to remind ourselves of that. And this is from David's perspective, obviously, in Psalms, is Jacob, even before he was in his mother's womb, God knew and understood that and wrote about the promises that he had. But because of he and his mother's doing and his plan, they got out of the timing of the Lord, and God had to get Jacob back through that. And then 23 years later, at the point where Jacob was going and crossing over, he had to go through what Chuck calls the divine confrontations and divine crossings. And that at this point in his life, he was finally in tune with where the Lord and his steps with where the Lord wanted him to be. And Chuck points out, he says here, this clearly quoting, it says, "To enter into the promises, Jacob must go through divine confrontations and divine crossings," end quote. And he goes on to talk about three crossings that Jacob eventually had to go through. The first was he had to face Esau. He had to come across him and confronting things of his past. And John West talks about it. He's like, you know, things, if you do something in the natural, you're going to have to do something in the natural to get yourself out of that situation. And here Jacob is having to go through that. Then he goes on to a couple river crossings. And we see how he goes in and he needed to cross the river Euphrates. And then he went and crossed into the camp of Mahanaim, which is a double camp, means a double camp, and which is ultimately what Chuck points out is the camp of heaven and the camp of earth. And angels met. This is where the angels met him in this place. And he says, when God is watching after you, he sends his angels at the right time of your path. And then the final third crossing of a river is that he crosses the Jabbok, which means the pouring out. And so we see here that as we're about to enter into this new day, these new dimensions, a new daybreak, which we talked about last week, sometimes we have to deal with some things of the past that we got ourselves into in order to be in that position and get fully into the new day that we are now entering into. Okay. So now that we're understanding these things, and it's really just walking this study out of reordering our day and walking into the new day, the new beginnings that we are in. Okay, so we have now seen some things happen over the weekend that I think we need to be fully aware of as far as we haven't really talked about this much of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, with Russia and Ukraine. And so there were some updates, and how this pertains to the United States is we'll see here shortly, is Russia has now started to bomb and attack Kiev after several weeks of being calm and staying away from attacking Kiev and key points. Is they finally this weekend attacked after United States announced plans to deliver $700 million of security assistance to Ukraine. And then around the same time they're doing that, President Vladimir Putin comes out on Sunday Moscow news shows and says that if the U.S. is warning, basically a threat, if the U.S. is going to continue to supply long-range missiles and resupply Ukraine after it's continuing to use the weapons that it had in the past and have been given by the U.S. and other NATO countries and UN countries, that they will now see this as attack and start attacking facilities that they have not attacked yet. And Putin tries to play it down of, oh, well, they already had these weapons, it's not that big of a deal, et cetera, et cetera. But yet he still wants to attack them for some reason. So this is important to see, because we're seeing now that this, number one, these threats are being made from Vladimir Putin. But the question is what does the United States military do? What does the Biden administration do in regards to these statements? They've already reopened the embassy in Kiev. Talks about, sending troops in to defend. Does this now cause a conflict because administration officials might get caught up, i.e. a Benghazi? What could possibly happen is endless, but also is what is the decision they need to be making? And this is where we want to pray for this administration to have the fear of the Lord, to listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing militarily, financially with Ukraine, and then as well as with Russia as well. And that bleeds over into the discussions with Iran and Israel as well. But this is very top of the matter here, and something we need to really pray for this administration this week, along with the conversations that will be had with the administration in the what is being called the Summit of the Americas, where North America countries come together, and they're going to be coming together in Los Angeles to discuss steps to be taken next involving what seems to be several lower tier issues, but in reality they kind of can be very, very high on the discussion scale. And not only is the president going, but Harris herself is going. And she herself is going to be, if you've seen some comments she made over the last weekend about how reproductive rights are the main fight, I think we need to push on in forward in this season, is that's one of the things she's going to be discussing very heavily at the Summit of the Americas, and also promoting business opportunities for women, delivering remarks to certain gatherings, also the issue of migration, national security. And there's a whole debate between certain countries of whether to have Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua leaders there. Mexican president is threatening to not show up. There's other presidents and leaders of Central and South American countries threatening to not show up if Cuban leaders, Venezuelan and Nicaraguan leaders, are not invited to these talks. And again, those three countries are aligned heavily with Russia. Very interesting. While also at the same time, the U.S. is allowing Venezuelan companies to send oil to Europe at a high cost. While yet we could be dealing with this stuff. So there's things that are on the agenda with and some complicated issues here. Also is talked about a little bit. We don't know who's going to be involved. And then there's the White House has not really put forward an agenda about what's being talked, probably because they don't want the public to know and what it looks like from what I'm reading. And so the sentiments of what comes out of this is more kind of a thing to watch for this administration. And so that's some of the things the president and the vice president will be up to this week out in Los Angeles. Whether the president himself stays there Vice President Kamala Harris stays there, is yet to be determined. There again, they're not releasing details, and then part of that's security reasons for that. That's kind of wise involved in that. And then kind of a little bit of housekeeping now that our numbers are kind of up a little bit is over the past week, this is just for our ministry here, is YouTube decided for some reason to flag us for our noon prayer last year we did in June at the North Carolina State Capitol here in Raleigh. And for some reason, I'm still in talks with them about why, what was there something we said? Because, I mean, the only thing we really did was read the, if I remember, it's the state motto. We just read that out. So I don't know if that's flagging something or what. But be sure to follow. We have a pipeline, Intercession for the President YouTube page if you'd like to follow on YouTube. But then also we have our Christian Center Report page on Rumble that as long as they're letting us send stuff out, we're going to go there and then our app as well. You never know what Facebook and YouTube are going to be doing. So just had to throw that out there, a little bit of housekeeping. So if you watch on YouTube and you've been wondering where, or you know people who watch on YouTube and they ask you questions, what happened? Well, we can't go live for some reason from anything to YouTube for some reason, whether it be on videos like this that we do online or from our house in Christian Center. So just a little bit of housekeeping there. So be sure to follow us. If you want to watch on YouTube on our Pipeline Intercession for the President YouTube page, it's basically our backup page for our main ministry and then our Rumble page as well. Okay. Now, a few topics we want to continue to follow are the discussions with Republican and Democratic senators on gun issues. And what's interesting about this is that both sides, Republican and Democrats, do not want the White House involved whatsoever. They just do not want them involved. A Democratic senator from Connecticut, Chris Murphy, came out and said the same thing on news shows yesterday. Retiring Senator Pat Toomey came out on Face the Nation and said the same thing. We do not want the president involved. We have to deal with this within the Senate is basically what they're saying. Chris Murphy is saying that he believes his goal is ultimately to try to get at least half of Republicans in the Senate to vote for gun measures. And I talked about a little bit about this on Friday. The Marco Rubio wants states to pick up red flag laws. Highly, highly problematic in the actual implementation for the 19 states who have actually done that. Pat Toomey himself wants to do that. And a kind of bit of discussion points that I think are really, really key to understand this whole issue is you're hearing one side ban this, increase background checks, even though there are background checks. These people pass background checks. And even if you put the extensive background checks in place, they would still pass them. There are other things involved that they want to try to do that just won't do anything, unfortunately, other than red flag laws of overstep constitutional boundaries. And House Majority Whip Steve Scalise comes out and says the quiet part out loud of red flag laws are unconstitutional because they get rid of due process. And that's the big thing with what Toomey and Murphy are saying, is that, well, we want to put these red flag laws in place with due process. And unfortunately, when you play this out, and there are countless stories coming out of Florida where due process is not followed. It's just simply not followed, because people say, people can go to a court and say, well, I believe this based upon no facts, no evidence, and the court doesn't have to tell you. And this is what happens, unfortunately, is the court itself doesn't follow due process. And unfortunately, the people who are challenging this and who are having their guns taken away, it's they don't have the resources to be able to fight back against this. So this stuff continues to allow to go forward. And so it's very problematic, and Steve Scalise points this out. And what we want to, in this situation, is pray for our leaders to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next for our nation, and also to be aware of the original intent for this nation to stand up for freedom when deciding laws. And also, as you're heating up towards the midterms, it's not just this issue, it's other economic issues, other policy issues, that we want to pray for our leaders and voice your opinion. If you see them involved in these discussions, your senator maybe leaning one way, and understand that if they're saying we want at least half of the Republicans in the Senate to try to vote for this, that means they're going after everybody. And they, whether they realistically think they can or cannot, they're going to try. They're going to see where people are at. If they can't get it done now, maybe next year, maybe the year after. And Bob Jones warned about this. Of this being an increased battle in the days ahead, and it could cause problems and will cause problems if they try to go after this. Because as you're seeing with a lot of things happening around the world, Australia included, you're very limited. I mean, go back to Germany. That's one of the first things the Nazi Party did, was take away guns. And yet, and the Holocaust occurs. And if some people say, and I might quite agree with this, is the Holocaust wouldn't have occurred if, you know, they would have been able to defend themselves, if they wouldn't have given up their guns. So we want to be fully abreast to this issue and be aware of what's happening here, and understanding the realities of the fight we have ahead here. Also, there were some comments made by Biden's Labor Secretary Marty Walsh on the economic indicators, that economic statistics that came out on Friday, and how there were 390,000 jobs added in May. And he says some things that are contradictory to what the president said on Friday or Thursday or Friday after these numbers came out. And so I want to play this two clips, because this is quite interesting in understanding where even Biden's labor secretary understands. The first one is involving an understanding that real wages did not actually grow. So when you hear the president himself say that since I've come into office, you know, people's incomes have gotten better, the economy's gotten better, then you have the Biden's labor secretary who actually looks at these statistics and says, well, no, that's not quite true. It's something to understand and say, okay, well, who's right? Well, everything the president said and the other advisors, Janet Yellen, a lot of other Treasury Secretary officials have said, they've been wrong. Now you hear the head of the Labor Department come out and say, yeah, that's not quite right. Then he comes out and says this. We talked about the comments made by Jamie Dimon about how there's a possible hurricane coming. And I want you to listen to this and why having an understanding of what the Lord's been telling us for quite some time, of be prepared for, you know, such a time as this economically, of getting out of debt, having some things stockpiled, cash is king, other prophetic warnings of an economic downturn. But listen to this. This is some good reporting by CNN. So for the first couple of seconds, he or segment lines he says, he kind of dances around it, and then she asks him another question. Okay, so that's quite alarming to hear from the Labor Secretary and say, okay, if there is something coming, let's get prepared. And so the issue at stand here is he was dancing around it, not wanting to commit, not wanting to say this is happening, this is not happening, and saying, you know, we're focused on X, Y, and Z when X, Y, and Z is not something. Okay, sorry you guys couldn't hear that. So basically he just danced around it and said, well, Jamie Dimon might be right. Maybe he will be right. We can't really predict the future. And so the issue at play here is that, number one, the first clip was he's contradicting the president. The second one, it's continuing on the line of, well, we don't really know what's really coming. But if for somebody in this position who should be paying attention to economic indicators, should understand history and understand basic economic philosophy and policy, that when you have a situation that we're in, if you continue to go down your road of forgiving debt, of continuing to print money, continue to give out government stimulus, having the economy not be economy that is actually producing anything, and that's unfortunately where we're at, where we're being more of an importer rather than an exporter. If you're continuing to use debt to finance your reasoning for why you're buying things, which unfortunately is where a lot of Americans are at, as you're continuing to see credit card debt being used from consumers, we have an issue here where we need leaders who are going to get in these offices. And the reason I bring this up as we get closer to these midterms, of now's the time to pick leaders who are going to, number one, understand these issues, but then number two, who are going to understand and do something about this. And there were comments, last comment, there's not a video on this, but it's a transcript from the same interview. Continuation of that interview from CNN of how he continues to say, he says, we don't know if we necessarily need the job market to cool to lower inflation. Well, the reason you have such high inflation is because there's not enough labor supply out there. There's not enough people who are actually taking jobs and seeking jobs because partly of the government stimulus from the pandemic, other issues as well, that is causing companies to raise wages. Well, that's coming to an end here shortly. And he even talked about it, how wage growth has slowed because companies are no longer able and some willing to pay these exorbitant amount of prices and wages for employees as we get closer towards them not breaking even, because the cost to buy and store goods before they actually sell them on the shelves is hurting their bottom line. So this is the situation we're in. And I point this out again to not put fear, but to say, okay, this is where we're at. And even if it doesn't occur or it does occur, best to put yourself in a position of being out of debt, number one, because those are the most people who it harms. If you're over leveraged, you're going to get hurt. If you're in debt, those are going to be your obligations, and you have to pay those rather than paying, having to, you know, cover for high cost of gas and everything else that we need. So we need to be aware and sober and aware of the season that we're in. And then I want to close on some key victories and of some things that have happened throughout this nation. Some positive things to end the day on is, number one, out of Florida, we posted this late Friday because it came out that the Florida Supreme Court ruled to leave in Governor Ron DeSantis's congressional map in place that was voted for by the Senate, which is positive because he laid out the lines based upon how his state outlined and the shift in demographics, rather than doing it based upon, even though some people believe it is purely political, he did it actually based upon fact, not opinion, and trying to political maneuver, even though this was somewhat of a political maneuver. We have to be intellectually honest there. This is a good thing because the Supreme Court stood with the decision and what the lawmakers passed, and he was within every right, and this is what the court is saying to do this, in showing that when some nefarious things were tried, if you just stand up and stand for justice and stand for freedom and the rule of law, when in its proper pure place, will stand up and back you up. You're also seeing out of Florida kind of a cultural news, but I think this is really interesting in showing that people can stand up to this craziness of how there were multiple players on the Tampa Bay Rays who refused to wear the Pride Night logo on their jersey and on their hat, citing religious views and saying, look, we don't stand for this ideology because it goes against our religious views. And constitutionally, there's nothing that the MLB or in the Tampa Bay Rays can really do about this because you have the First Amendment. And it would be very interesting to see them try to kind of buck the system here and force these players to do this. And look, this is not the first year that this has happened as far as the Pride Nights, from MLB to the minor leagues to NFL and all this other stuff that they're doing. But this is the first you're hearing about athletes finally standing up to this craziness. So some positive news there. And then lastly, out of Louisiana, the state legislature, Senate, passed a bill banning the shipment of abortion drugs from anyone other than a doctor. So if you're not a doctor, which is still kind of crazy, it's one victory at a time. If you're not a doctor, you are prohibited from delivering, dispensing, distributing, or providing a pregnant woman with an abortion-inducing drug. But doctors can still do it and mail it, and that's a whole issue there. And that kind of fights back against the FDA's ruling that says abortion pills can be mailed out. So this is how these political battles are fought here. When the FDA did this, okay, well, fine. Because what was happening is drug manufacturers, pharmaceuticals were trying to be able to send directly to pregnant women these pills and have them take them in their home alone, which is still a problem because there's a host of problems with taking a pill such of this magnitude by yourself in your home alone and not being in the watchful eye of a doctor. So it's one small step for victory in life. And as we continue to get closer towards the end of June, we want to continue to pray and intercede for the Golden Court case of life and protection for the justices, their families, and having peace during the storm, as well as specifically praying for Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh, as we've been shown to be the key decision makers in this. And if you listen last Friday, some warnings of specifically to pray for John Roberts, as again, we see the vice president, and go back to what we talked about earlier, wanting to push for, saying that the reproductive rights fight in her eyes is the most important battle right now. So we see this coming out of the White House from this administration. We want to repent for where they stand for death and pray and intercede for these justices to vote and rule on the side of life on this court case. So with that, I will close. A lot we covered today. Thank you for following along. And don't forget, we'll have our noon prayer online today only, and then tomorrow at Christian Center Shreveport as well. And we will continue to stand on the wall praying for the office of the president as we inch closer and closer towards decisions coming out from the Supreme Court. Blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.